heart, and they said that we should hide his word in our heart. Get it down deep on the inside of you so that it's there. And that's why we encourage people to read their Bibles and study their Bible, because David said, or the psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Even if you can get it down in your heart, not just in your head. The head's a great place. It's got to start there, but it can't just end there. It's got to make that little short journey from the head to the heart before it really, really begins to matter. So the Bible said that we are to hide his word down deep in our heart. Even the psalmist said again, he said, "Create in me." Notice the word, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me." Amen. Because you see, the heart in itself and of itself may not be clean. It needs to be created. It needs to be made. Oh, how David learned the importance of that, did he not? Amen. Jeremiah said this. He said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." Amen. Jesus said this. They were worried about people washing their hands before they ate. Sounds like our day. We got things kind of out of proportion here. You can eat with dirty hands and not die. Now, I'm all for washing hands, don't get me wrong. But I don't think we need to have a phobia about it. Amen. I don't think we need to go overboard about it. Everywhere you go today, they got hand sanitizer. Amen. We are the sanitizingest bunch you ever seen, and probably the sickest bunch. Because we don't have any immunities left to fight against disease, because we killed them all. Amen. Everywhere I turn, people are afraid to go anywhere. Can't go to the store because I might get germs. Amen. Can't push a grocery cart because I might get germs. Amen. Can't go to church because I might breathe on somebody. Somebody might breathe on me. Amen. The Bible said Jesus breathed on them. I just said, hey, let's don't go overboard, folks. I'm just saying that we live in a culture of fear today. And if you listen to every voice, it'll crush you. Amen. We've made it this far by the grace of God. God's going to keep us. Amen. Praise God's going to keep us. We're going to make it, folks. Amen. And so, but everywhere you look, it's fear, fear, fear. But Jesus said, it's not, if you don't wash your hands when you eat, he said, it's not going to kill you. And listen to what he said. Verse number, chapter 15, verse 18, he said, "But those things which proceedeth out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." Now, I don't recommend it, but you can eat cockroaches and it won't defile you. I had a missionary friend got up one morning, looked in the mirror, and there were legs hanging off of his lips. Apparently during the night he'd had a snack and didn't intend to have. Amen. But he survived. Didn't kill him. Amen. Didn't even tell his wife. Just brushed his teeth and kissed her good morning. Amen. That won't defile you. Amen. He said it's what comes out of the heart and that comes out of the mouth. It's what's in the heart, he said, that defiles. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. You see, they were so fanatic about cleaning the outside, but they didn't pay any attention to what was on the inside. And we're living in the same world again today. Folks are so concerned about what's on the outside, but they're not taking care of what's on the inside. Jesus said, you got to get the heart right. And the psalmist said, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord." Amen. Hey, if you're honest with yourself, you have thoughts you never intended to have. Things come in your head and you think, where in the world did that come from? And if you're not careful, you can't entertain those thoughts. Because when we entertain them, that's when they become realities. All sin begins as a thought. I've heard people say, I did that without thinking. No, you didn't. You thought it first. Amen. And then we've got these brilliant people that say, well, it's just as bad to think it as it is to say it. That's probably the dumbest thing anybody ever taught you. It'll save you a lot of trouble in life if you learn to zip your lip. Amen. And not say things you think sometimes. Amen. Just learn not to say. Some things don't need saying. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You'll see, somebody said, I don't remember where I heard it, said that we are masters of our unspoken words, but we are slave to the words that we have spoken. Once it comes out, friend, even when you're angry, especially be careful what you say when you're angry. Amen. You can say hurtful, mean things that you don't mean to say. And that's once it's out, it never gets to go back in the vessel again. You never can unsay something. And it's sometimes very hard for people to forget what you said. Even when they're trying hard to forget, still they remember. Be careful what you say. Amen. Because it'll come out of your heart. The Bible says a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think you're a worm, you're a worm. Amen. You need to learn. Now here's a thin line. We're not talking, you know, we have lived through this era of building a child's self-worth and taking that to an extreme. Do you know the difference in a coach and a cheerleader? All the cheerleader does is get pretty and get out there and flounce around, sis, boom, bye, hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. And just encourage, and that's all. Wonderful, you're so great, you're so fantastic. And that's all they do is they just build up spirit, and that's all they do. And some parents try to raise their children like that. Oh, you're so wonderful, honey. I like the way you spit your food all over the wall. That's so beautiful. You're artistic. You're genius. You see, that's the cheerleading approach. But if you've ever had a coach, what in the world were you thinking? I can't believe you did something like that. Now, what is he doing? He's trying to get you to think. Because what you do is also affects the entire team. And there are no prima donnas in the eyes of a good coach. He'll dress one down quick as he will the other. But he'll also build up one. Son, that was a brilliant play. If you could just do that again. Why, I've never seen you do anything. That was so good. You see, a coach can build up, but he also knows how to strengthen the weaknesses. And yet maintain a balance of the ego. That's important, you see, that we learn how to do that. But as a man thinketh in his heart, we can't think lofty. But at the same time, it would be an insult to God if we don't appreciate who he made us to be. Amen. Appreciate the talents and the abilities and the gifts that God has given you. Be sure and give Him the glory. Be sure and give Him the thanks. Be sure and give Him the praise. But at the same time, don't go around putting yourself down because of what God gave you and what God made you to be. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. God made us to be some things. God put some great things in you and I. Amen. And out of our hearts, that all comes. So it's important today that we guard the heart. As a matter of fact, Psalm said this. Psalm 4:23 said, keep the heart. Guard your heart. Put a watch over your heart, a centennial, if you will. Amen. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And boy, is that true. Oh, is that true. Amen. That's why we have a Sunday school going over there. We're trying to put in the young hearts of those little children the goodness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're trying to teach them morals. We're trying to teach them how to live their life, how to make right choices. Amen. We are living in a world that is so warped, and a world that is so wicked, and in some cases downright evil. But we've got to get it in their hearts. We try to teach our young people, don't be like the world. Don't act like the world. Don't talk like the world. Don't think like the world. Don't act like the world. Amen. Because one of these days, you're going to make some decisions, and they're going to determine the future of your life. They're going to determine the kind of person you become. Brother Paul Hush told us years ago at Bible college, he said, you want to be a sweet old person? He said, you be a sweet young person. You want to be a good old person? You be a good young person. It starts now. Amen. Out of the heart, you see, that's where these issues flow. Amen. So important today that we get it right in here. Amen. You remember the story of Pharaoh. The Bible says when God dealt with Pharaoh, that Pharaoh hardened his heart. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. Until finally it says that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. To me, that's one of the most frightening verses in the Bible. That God can actually harden a person's heart. And I've seen it happen. And I've seen it happen. I have watched people. I have watched people in churches that at one time were sensitive and tender toward God get to the place that nothing moved them. They sat on the pew. They come to church. But nothing moved them. They never worship. They never sing. They never pray. Nothing moves them. I've watched people get involved in sins and hide sins and not repent of sins and think they're getting away with it. And I've watched them become so hard. I've watched people guard attitudes in their life. And until they solidify. It's like a horseshoe. You know, when you put it in the fire, you get it hot and you can shape it, you can mold it, and you can make it. But once you take it out of the fire and it sets, then it takes that form. Amen. And when you get out of the fire, God can no longer shape you. When you get out and you get cold, God can no longer mold you. Amen. It's dangerous to allow your heart to get cold. Allow your spirit to get cold. And you need to stay malleable in the hands of the Lord so that he can shape you and he can make you to be what you need to become. Because God hardened Pharaoh's heart. It really frightens me to see what people can become. Amen. Brother Martin, there's people down there where you guard that sat on Pentecostal pews. Some of them get so hard. But there is hope. I'll never forget my friend, Brother Merle McDaniel, great elder of the gospel, been preaching for so many years, 90 years old now, still preaching every chance he gets, with what little bit his voice will let him. He'll get to preaching, he'll preach a few minutes and say, well, that's all I got. Amen. But he's still preaching. He said, I still got the want to. Amen. And so Brother McDaniel, his oldest son, had not been serving the Lord for a long time. And he'd tell me sometimes, he'd say, I just keep praying for him. But he said, he's so hard. Amen. But he called me one day and he told me, he said he prayed through. Hallelujah. Amen. He prayed back through to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just recently. And it wasn't just a short time after that. He got sick. The doctor said, you got cancer. And he didn't live but a few months. And he went to be with the Lord. But guess what? He left this world saved. Amen. Because I believe the prayers of a father that wouldn't let go, even though he got hard. Don't give up. Keep praying. Don't lose hope. Keep praying. Amen. But we need to let God open our heart. It's so important. Amen. Lydia was, the Bible said a few things we can know about her. Number one, it just simply said she's a seller of purple. That dye came from a certain shell. And it was very, very, very expensive. Only royalty and wealthy people could afford to wear purple garments because that dye was so exceedingly expensive. And she was a merchant. She was a seller of that purple dye, which indicates to us that she was a woman of some means. But somehow God moved her from her hometown Thyatira and he moved her to Philippi. And Paul wanted to go over to Asia and preach the gospel, but he said the Holy Ghost wouldn't let me go over there. Amen. And they got to praying, and he had a vision, and he saw this man in Macedonia. And he said, come over and help us. So he went over to Macedonia, and he went over and he didn't find that man. But he one day they went down, they said, well, there's not a synagogue here in Philippi. Now, in order to have a synagogue, they had to have 10 Jewish men who were heads of their household. And obviously, they didn't have that. So they went down to the river where they probably had heard there was women prayer meeting. Thank God for women that have prayer meetings. Hallelujah. Thank God for men that have prayer meetings. Thank God for people that pray. These women would go down to the river and they'd get scroll and they'd open it up and they'd discuss the word of the Lord and they'd pray. Now Lydia was a Gentile. She was not, or she was a person that didn't really follow Judaism, but she did worship God. She did love the Lord. Amen. You know, everybody that worships God's not perfect yet. And not everybody that loves God knows as much as you know. And be careful how you talk to them and about them. Amen. I've heard people say, it grieves me to hear people say something like this. They ain't got nothing. That's an old pharisaical spirit. They do have something. The Bible said, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And if they're there, they got something. And that he is a rewarder. of them that diligently seek him. So be careful about judging people. They may not be where you are, and you won't get them to where you are. If you blast them, make fun of them, hurt them, crush them. Amen. Instead, be like Aquila and Priscilla that took Apollos aside. He was a great preacher. He just didn't know all the truth. But the Bible said they showed him the way more clearly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some people had some wisdom. And they said, hey, brother, that's good what you got there. I like that. But have you ever considered this? And with wisdom, they led him all the way. And Apollos became a great preacher of the truth in his generation. Because somebody had the wisdom to lead him to the Lord. But Lydia was a seller. She loved the Lord. She didn't know everything, but she loved the Lord. And she was at prayer meeting. Amen. And Paul came. And so she was at the right place. Isn't it amazing how God gets things together? I love God's timing and God's way. Paul said, I'm going to Asia. God said, no. He said, there's a little lady praying down by that river. I need you to get over there. And how he changed them completely, brought them together at the right time. And the Bible says, while they were praying down at the river, it said that the Lord opened her heart. And she received what Paul was saying. I remember Jesus said one time in the scripture, he said, and he was explaining something, and he used this statement. He said, if you will receive it. If you will receive it. You see, the word of God goes out, but it's got to have a receiver on the other end. He said, my word will not return unto me void. It will accomplish what I send it to do. The Bible said the word of God is a what? A two-edged sword. One side has healing, and the other side is surgical. It can bring healing and help, or it can bring death and destruction. It can bring salvation, or it can bring judgment. The word of God, the same sermon that we preach on a Sunday morning to one person can be salvation, to another be a judgment. Isn't that amazing? God's word. What makes this? Your receiver. Let me ask you, is your receiver working this morning? Have you got it turned on and tuned in? Amen. The word of the Lord is powerful. And that's going forth. The Bible says the Lord opened her heart. Amen. And she told the Apostle Paul, she said, I need to be baptized. My whole house needs to be baptized. Went down, got her whole family baptized. And then she said, why don't you just stay here with us? I got this nice big house. Why don't you just stay here? Hallelujah. You know, when you got the Holy Ghost, you want to hang around the right people. Let me tell you something. Anything that makes you want to separate from your brothers and sisters is not the Spirit of God. Anything that wants to give you the long ranger spirit, I don't need anybody, is not the Spirit of God. Amen. I can stay home, listen to the radio, watch the tube and be saved. Is not the Spirit of God. First of all, it's not just about you. It's about the whole body. Did you ever consider that I might need you? And you might need me? It's important. Amen. God opened her heart. Anybody remember when your heart got opened? Woo! What a wonderful day. Hallelujah. What a wonderful day. Tell you what, and you don't open your heart when you get ready. God opened your heart. I remember, Brother Neil, I remember fighting the Spirit of the Lord in services. I didn't open my heart. I was struggling against this. But I remember the night God opened my heart. And I'm so glad He did. I'm so glad He did. I remember when He just opened my heart. You remember that. Praise God. Would you stand with me tonight, today? Amen. It's important, folks, that we let the Lord open our heart. It doesn't just happen one time. It happens all through your life and your experience with God, when the Lord will open your heart and He'll speak a word. He'll impart a truth. He'll ask for something. Would you do this? Would you be this? And when God opens our heart, it's so vital, so important that we stay open to Him and never close the door. I remember a preacher gave a testimony. He got a critical spirit. And he got to criticizing one of his elders. He didn't think he was doing things right. He didn't like the way things were being done. And he got to talking to people about how he thought things ought to be. Not appreciating his elder. Never walked in his shoes. Never stood where he was standing. But somehow he decided he knew better. And he began to spread gossip. But in an account meeting service, God in His mercy opened his heart. And he saw what he had done. And his heart was broken. And he said, God, I know you're getting ready to talk to me. But let's just settle one thing. I know I did wrong. But I love you with everything that's in me. And I don't want to do anything that's going to cause me to be lost. So speak away, God. Tell me what you need to say. I will listen. And I will obey. That's what you got to have, folks. That's the kind of spirit you got to have. You can never get to the place where you know better. And you've got it all figured out. But you got to stay tender before Him, so that He can open your heart. And He can even tell you the things that you've done wrong, so that you can get things right. Isn't He good to us? Let the Lord open your heart. I want to have an open heart today. How about you? Thank you for your time and your attention today. Is the Lord speaking to somebody here this morning and you need a minute to respond? We're not rushing anybody. Amen. I'm going to open this altar for some prayer. I think it would be good if you'd just come and make sure that communication's still open. Check your receiver. Make sure you're still receiving. You're not just sending messages to God, but you're getting messages from the Lord. You're not just telling God what you need, but you're listening to what He needs and what He wants. God, open my heart today, please. Don't let me be closed off. And don't let me be hardened. Don't let me get cold. Don't let me be distant. But open my heart today. Open my heart today, Jesus. Open my heart today, Jesus.